This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Monday morning, homeroom. Man, we made it to through what? I don't know what, man. We every Monday morning, I get up and go, wow, do we start again? Is it, you know, or does stuff continue to flow?
I mean, you made it through March, right? I mean, here we are. It's the last day of March. We're at the end. You know, the end of March going into April. So it's good. I mean,
there's a lot going on. Just, you know, keep it that way. I have been practicing my best, which is not very good, to ignore the news, to stay off of social media scrolling.
You've been practicing staying regulated, Tim. Let's say that. Like, well, what to each their best practices to staying regulated, being able to, you know, never too high, never too low, dialed in. Lots going on.
You know, so anyway, I am just happy to see both of you here this morning, Jess, Johnny. You know, although we gotta get right into this because, you know, here's the big deal kind of going on right now. We talk about this, Johnny. 5 years since COVID, but I want to put this out there and say, maybe more importantly, 5 years ago, Johnny Lupinacci and Tim Slecker got together and started doing Busted Pencils Live.
I mean, Tim, it was right about this time, exactly, yeah. 5 years ago. You know, I was working with a good friend of mine, Drew, and a friend of yours, a mutual friend that we both had, you know, and we were working on an education zine at the time called Major Threat. And it was really fun coming out of our punk traditions and really heavy on music and poetry and art and, you know, essays and experiences that teachers and parents and students were sending into the zine. And we had been putting that zine together and you had us on Busted Pencils,
the podcast,
to talk about punk rock pedagogies and the zine Major Threat. Loved the show. It was awesome. It's a rare nugget. No one's heard it.
No, exactly.
Because, I mean, like literally the day or so after, Tim, we recorded that epic. It's epic. Someday Tim will find the recording and we'll unearth it. But, you know, we'll say for now, it was an epic episode of Busted Pencils, but it never made it to podcast format. It never made it to the air.
No.
But that was the beginning of something really special, right?
Well, that was the beginning of something special, and it was the beginning of something really horrible at the same time, right? Because the reason why that show never got produced is because, yeah, the next day was the worldwide, you know, lockdown. Go home, stay indoors. You cannot access any, so I couldn't get to the studio. All the people that helped me produce Busted Pencils at that time weren't allowed in, and so it just kind of sat there. But what became Civic Media at the time were two small radio stations in Madison and Milwaukee, and we were able to do live shows as long as we went into the studio by ourselves. And, you know, at the time then, somebody said, hey, would you like to do Busted Pencils Live? I was like, yeah, why not? Let's do it. And I reached out to my man, Johnny Lupinacci, and I said, Johnny, sorry, we didn't produce that show, but you were awesome. How'd you like to kind of guest co-host with me on this thing called Busted Pencils Live? You said yes, and guess what? Here we are 5 years later. Doing the most incredible work. But the reality is, though, here we're seeing all the news 5 years since COVID, the effect, the influence, the pressure that it put on schools, on families and kids. And, you know, something happens at the 5 year mark for milestones is people want to look back and kind of say, oh, here's what happened. Here's the good, the bad, the ugly. I, you know, and I'm looking at some of this stuff, and I'm just going to point out right from the very beginning, and Johnny and I have been consistent on this topic from the very beginning. All of the hyped up fake news about learning loss.
Oh boy.
is just a kind of distraction from the realities that were really happening. Yes, some test scores dropped, okay? But to realize that, of course they did, but to call it learning loss as opposed to some academic achievement, you know, lower scores, let's be honest, that's all it was. We've always framed this as, yeah, but what was learned? The learning gains, and there were lots of things learned, things that a lot of times we don't talk about in schools that maybe we should. And this focus now in the kind of retrospectives I've been reading over the weekend, I just keep hearing the constant theme. There's lots of other ones, but I wanted to hit this one first. Man, we have still got a lot of academic achievement to make up. And when I hear those words, it reminds me all the way to Teachers Amplified, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna. So the main concern is that the numeracy and literacy scores have not come back up, and that our number one focus is going to be really, really drilling down again to an academic-only curriculum that totally denies kids the opportunity to dig deep, to engage, to really experience true learning, all just so that we can bring up some test scores so that somebody can be happy again. Johnny, I think of this and I go, it's a missed opportunity 5 years later to have not reframed this and saying, the reality that we're still overly concerned with the minutia of academic achievement as opposed to the experience of deep, engaged learning that we've never, ever really done well to begin with. Here we are 5 years later, and we're essentially saying, Slecker, Lupinacci, that stuff about engagement and cool schools that you want, we're not going to get there this year either, buddy, because we got learning loss to take care of. So that's where I'm at, man.
Well, Tim, and I get that with you and disagree in some context too, because I want to just reiterate that while we're looking at, yes, it's been 5 years since the lockdown, if we want to call it, or since the like the early times of COVID, marking the beginning of the COVID era, I want to just take a beat and say, you know what, we're in it still. And if we did want to close it off and say like, hey, you know, there was a heightened peak of it, we're still grieving it. I mean, we're talking about millions lost. We're talking about massive changes in so many different aspects of our lives, especially our classrooms, especially in how children were developing socially. So we'll get to that in a minute. We're still in it. We're still learning. So we're in, I'm going to say, the grieving and learning phase. If we are to say we're out of the COVID era, which a lot of these reports are saying, it's been 5 years since, you know, COVID began. And now that we're out of it, what have we learned? And that's been a big kind of trending topic this week in news discussions and in schools. And I just want to take a moment to say, we're still in it, in at least in the moment, not of like, oh my gosh, I'm afraid about a COVID outbreak right now, but we are in an era that I would mark as still the COVID era in terms of it. At the very least, we're still grieving it and processing the information. So love that, you know, you're reminding our listeners and you're highlighting that, you know, that emphasis on learning loss is absolutely something we've hammered against here at Busted Pencils. But I like to like pause in that moment and think about what are the things that we actually experienced and how are we processing that? And a lot of schools are. My experience in a lot of school communities right now and with working with a lot of teachers is that, you know, yeah, the news wants to say it's over. And like, we want to say like, hey, let's get back to normal. Well, there's a rush to this sense of normal, but that's not the sense and sentiment coming from teachers and schools, and certainly not from children. Remember, all behavior is a form of communication. It's that things have changed radically and need to stay changed and they need to get better. We have a failing healthcare system. We have a failing public education system that have really good nurses, really good teachers, really good doctors, really good school principals and experts in education. We're not short on brain power and hands on deck. We're short on quality conditions to do the job well. And that's something that we absolutely learned. We knew it before COVID, but it was exacerbated 5 years ago.
There you go.
Immediately when that kicked in. And, you know, some of the things that I am hearing is like, I see a lot of energy around. We didn't do as much standardized testing and we're not going back to that.
Okay.
We have some real different needs in our students and they're not behind. They're just on a different trajectory. Right. So I'm hearing a lot of those kinds of things and seeing states like the state I'm teaching in now, Washington, right, talking about there couldn't be a more important time to continue to do social emotional learning, to pay attention to mental health in our schools. And these are lessons learned. We knew about them before COVID, but COVID exacerbated the experiences that so many students and families and people in our community were having. So as we came back together, which I'd say is a couple years ago, we came back together in schools, understanding that we would not be able to continue to do things the way we've been doing them. So I won't call it misinformation or fake news, but I'll say it's misleading, right? That this era is over, or that in some way we can go back to a pre-COVID era where we knew things were not working,
right?
But we had a lot of rationalization to keep them going. I've never seen more momentum behind. We knew they didn't work. We learned more about what worked and didn't work in a really unfortunate circumstance. And now let's not just turn right back around and make the same mistakes. So I'm hearing that from, you know, people who identify as conservatives. I'm hearing that from people who identify as liberals. I'm hearing that across the board politically, obviously not at the federal level, but at the ground level in our districts and in things we're talking about. You know, that we learned a lot. How are we putting what we learned to practice?
Yeah, I hear you say misleading. I'm it's almost making me think the constant learning loss is man, try this out. It leads people to believe that that is the number one quote reform that has to occur. Well, and that's where I get going like, wait a minute, that's not, as you pointed out, Johnny, there were a lot of things broken before COVID. COVID really exposed them. I think there was a moment too during COVID where say like, we're not going back to quote normal. There was that mantra of people saying, you know what, we know now we're not going back to normal. But I think that that kind of sentiment was actually heard loud and clear by conservative, not Republican, conservative ed reformers that got really freaked out about the possibility of upending the standardized testing regime system and have really narrowed in on saying learning loss, learning loss, learning loss, because that keeps status quo in place.
Yeah, let me just break it down in more plain English, Tim. How I see it is, that was an opportunity to put the blame on students and teachers. It's to blame young people. It's an age-old trope of those who are making an argument for an economic investment in education, not a public investment in education, but a private economic investment in education via expensive tests that states and districts administer and that they have contracts with large companies for and test prep materials and all this. It was an opportunity to blame students and teachers for something that's completely out of their control, a global pandemic.
Right.
So instead of saying, hey, we had a global pandemic, of course, some of the things have shifted. Of course, some of the scores look different because we're only used to measuring math and reading every day what we did. And we did more than math and reading every day. Like, so we argue here on Busted Pencils, like it wasn't an era of learning loss. It was an era of arguably, and not to idealize it, a holistic learning moment for the world.
Right.
Yeah. Both the good and the bad. And of course, some of that we're still grieving. But the idea is what it was a manipulative opportunity to do the age-old thing where we blame teachers and students. I can, you know, a corollary. It's like, it would be like saying, hey, we have a medical, you know, healthcare problem in this country. And it's because nurses... It's because of the nurses who don't want to, you know, do the hard work, which is absolutely absurd.
Right.
For anyone who's a nurse out there will tell you there is a shortage of nurses. There is a shortage of support for nurses. The labor conditions are brutal. right? We need to take better care of our community and the caretakers in our community. Teachers, same kind of thing. But this is an age-old opportunity to say, you know what? We had an era where we're going to really need to implement these expensive materials. We're going to have to continue to blame teachers and students. It's the age-old thing. Blame the kids.
Yeah.
Well, these kids are arguably, I mean, the boomers who are blaming the kids aren't complaining about the fact that they learned in their own historical tough moments. You know, we came up as teachers hearing about how the Great Depression really, really taught us a lot. And, you know, some tragedies of the world helped us to be a stronger country. And we learned so much from it. Those are the same people who are now turning around and pointing fingers and say, this tough moment these kids went through, right? Now they're damaged forever. And that's the real problem. So that couldn't be further from the truth, right? These kids are just fine. But it does mean, Tim, reflecting on the past 5 years and the lessons learned, it does mean that we absolutely have to do some things differently because we did learn a lot that we already knew. We had people championing. Things weren't working well for everyone in schools. But when COVID hit, all of those kind of failures of schooling were really exacerbated. We saw them. Teachers talked about them. We scrambled to figure out how to adjust, how to make changes. And we're still in that moment. It's a big change time for education.
It is. And I just want to help everybody out too. Johnny said corollary, not coronary. So although a lot of people may have been thinking this moment could be the cause of a coronary, but it was corollary. I couldn't resist, Johnny. It was there. You know what, though? And we're coming up on this. We've spent a heck of a lot of time, though, on this learning loss. And, you know, one of the issues here that I think, you know, we'll see, and I would point this out for anybody who listened to the show this past Saturday, where we had Brittany Walsh on, CESA director in Wisconsin, talking about technology and talking very specifically about AI and how that it could really potentially change the nature of schooling. Those are the conversations that I wished that post-COVID we were talking about, because you know what? We saw what technology in the form of distance learning could do and what it couldn't do. We had all this exposure, right? But here's a moment, and we're sitting there going, okay, we have this opportunity. It's kind of reminding me of Harvey Kay in the Thomas Paine quote about, you know, we have this opportunity to make the world over again. We have this opportunity here now to, again, recreate education from everything we've learned over these past 5 years to make it exceptional. And I want to put people out there and say, hold on to that vision, advocate for it, because that's really what we want to go. I don't want to get beat down on everything that's horrible. I want to get empowered by where we could be going, Johnny.
Yeah, I agree, Tim. And also acknowledge that there's really great folks who have been doing this work pre-COVID, did it during COVID, rose into leadership roles. I want a big shout out to all the teachers, right? Mm-hmm. Who pivoted and adjusted to new pedagogies that weren't brand new, but we're now having to lead and teach other teachers how to, you know, teach on Zoom, how to teach on Google Meets, how to have a Google Classroom, how to engage learners at distance. Like you said, there are folks who are decades into really good pedagogical strategies, right? Teaching strategies and practices, how to develop a lesson plan for engagement for a distance learner. These were things that now there's a stronger conversation in like how and what expertise is out there, as well as all of our ed tech people, Tim. Like you get, like you said, little sneak preview for folks for Saturday's broadcast. You can talk a little bit more about AI and all these exciting technologies, but also this role of just like how we have access, right, to the internet, how we provide like one-to-one programs. Those are almost staple now in every school across our country. Right. Mm-hmm. Those came into absolute mandatory for folks who aren't sure what I mean by one-to-one, right? That every student is on a device where they can connect with their classroom and teacher should they not be able to be in the classroom. So we learned a lot about how to be prepared for new, that weren't brand new, but more widely practiced strategies in education. So I like what you're saying in terms of let's focus on some of these really good things that we learned, right? Mm-hmm. Let's also not forget that this was all happening amidst the largest social uprising of all of our lifetimes.
Yeah.
So the conversations about equality and diversity in this country were wildfire when our students were able to connect with what was happening in their communities, what was happening in their online communications. And that's not a shock either, that there is an attack on youth right now, coming out of an era where they were able to really organize and share information with one another and really embolden in ways to say, there's a world we want and it looks really different. Let's go. So I'm excited about that youth, that energy. I'm not at all concerned about their learning loss per se. I put scare quotes up because I know there's great teachers out there who are like, you know what? Maybe they learned their multiplication facts a little different, maybe a little on a different timeline than other students, but they sure as heck learned a lot. And there are some big things coming in the future from this generation of young learners who are doing just fine.
Absolutely. You know what though? Now is time for your moment of zen. I think this is an encouragement to people who do things not knowing whether they will result in anything. You do things again and again and nothing happens. It requires patience, but not a passive patience, the patience of activism.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom today. And remember to grab other podcasts filled with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website. Remember to grab this week's Class in Session on Wednesday, and you can find Hurdles and Home Runs on Friday. And of course, catch the Busted Pencils broadcast on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.